Good afternoon, brethren. Good to see all of you. Certainly hope that you've had a good morning and a good night of rest after such an exciting day yesterday. It's certainly a pleasure to see all of you here. I have a sermon today on wisdom from Proverbs 8. I will give acknowledgement to the man who originally did it. That's Mr. Tom Kirkpatrick. And I'm so very grateful that it came out and I could use it to hopefully deliver a message worthwhile to be brought to you. It says, godly wisdom is represented by a woman with a message in Proverbs 8. This is a public message. She declares it in a public place. Her message is accessible to all who choose to pay attention to it. What is the message? What is wisdom saying? In this sermon, I'd like to answer those questions from the Bible for you. You know, in the world of finance and investing, there is an illegal practice. A really big no-no, as it is, can result in some serious prison time. It's called insider trading. It involves using private information and confidential information and using it to sell a stock of a company which you know is going to fold or the price of the stock go way down. It's a company which you have insider information about because they've been involved in illegal activity. And you know that they're in trouble, but the public doesn't know it yet. And if you were to take your stock and sell it, it's immoral, it's wrong, and it's illegal. This information is known only to you and not to the general public. For instance, like I say, if you're working inside the company, you know somebody who is, and they put that message out to you that, hey, this is stock, it's time to sell, get rid of it quick. You're cheating the guy who's buying it from you if he does not know. As I said, it's immoral, it's wrong. If you know that and sell your stock in that company at its currently high price before the public learns of the corruption, you're taking advantage of that person buying your stock. He doesn't know that the stock is about to go down greatly in value, but you do. You have insider information for you to make a profit based on that insider information at the expense of someone who does not have yet that information is unfair, and as I said, it is illegal. It can land you in prison. But it would be different if that information about what's going on, about the corruption, is known everywhere to everyone, inside and outside. Then if someone just chose to ignore that information and to choose it, to disbelieve it, they wanted to purchase a stock from you at the current price, you would not be guilty of profiting from insider trading, from that insider information. Everyone, insiders and outsiders, knew about it. Then the problem is no longer yours, but his. You are in no way to blame for his loss. He is. Well, there's something somewhat similar situation described in the Bible. That information is open to the public. But whether or not they believe it, whether or not they listen to it, is their choice. It's theirs to win or lose. Refusing to pay attention to this valuable information, really, they only have themselves to blame if they have a loss. So let's get to Proverbs 8. And you want to put a marker in there. We're going to go all the way through the book of Proverbs today, of chapter 8. Just chapter 8, not the whole book. We're going to do it verse by verse, so to speak. But wisdom is readily available to any who will read, believe, and act on it. Proverbs 8, 1 through 4. First verse of Proverbs 8 says, does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of a high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wisdom is personified as a woman in this chapter. In reality, of course, wisdom is godly, right kind of wisdom. It's actually a dimension of God's character. It reflects his holiness, his thoughts, his reasoning, and it's the way of successful and happy living, if only it's listened to. It's true that the full depth of Christ-like spiritual reasoning and thinking and yielding to the will of the Father is only present, being developed, that is, in God's Spirit-endowed first fruits. But yet that information is out there. I think probably if you had an eighth grade education, if you open a Bible and read it, there are many, many things you can understand. You don't need God's Holy Spirit to read that there are 10 commandments and to avoid, to break them as a penalty. There's blessing and cursing chapter that you can read. And certainly an eighth grader should be able to understand that with a proper education. However, we can see in this chapter that God has seen to it that at least some measure of right kind of wisdom, godly wisdom, is accessible to mankind. Those made in the image of God in general, talking about mankind, doesn't matter what color our skin is, doesn't matter what our shape, our size, or origin are, we're made in the image of God. We're God's begotten children here in this room. But we're future begotten children out in the world. We know that as a fact. They don't understand that yet, but there's wisdom that they can understand. Godly wisdom has a purposeful presence and accessibility in the world. It cries out in public. In that sense, it is not insider information. It's accessible. It's available to a degree that can make a difference in people's lives. Think back before God called you. If you were raised in any church at all or under any situation where the Bible or right way of living was taught, morals and ethics, you had understanding. You didn't understand the plan of God, of course. But you were taught what is right. Morals were taught. Ethics were taught. I don't believe that's so today. You look around the world, especially around this country, morals are not taught. They're not enforced. Right thinking is not taught, unfortunately. But it is accessible to those who will read if they really want to. Verse 5 of Proverbs 8 says, "Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart." The benefits of wisdom are available even to those who are otherwise simple. Those who are gullible and inclined to being deceived. Wisdom will help them to develop prudence. That's the capacity to see through false arguments and clever and subtle distortions and arrive at the truth. Wisdom will endow them with a sensitive baloney detector. Now that's a word that I haven't heard used in a long time. But growing up, if you had somebody that liked to tell tall tales, certainly, someone would say that guy is full of baloney. You know, today, unfortunately, they use probably a lot more crude and crass way of saying something. But you know, God's wisdom can give you a baloney detector. You can see through some of the false things that are being stated because you have some wisdom from God's word. Those who are otherwise fools, who are cursed with a stubbornly high opinion of their own opinion, they're encouraged by wisdom to develop an understanding heart. They are then able to make sense of a world that is certainly deteriorating and falling apart around us. They can know what pleases God and what doesn't please God, what has a future and what doesn't have a future, at least to a certain extent. As I said, they don't have God's Holy Spirit, so they don't know the plan of God. Paul talks about it as a mystery, and it is a mystery till God opens our eyes and our minds and our hearts. It is a mystery, but yet there is wisdom there that'll show you how to have a good life, a happy life, a full life, as far as that goes physically. Even fools can know what God expects and desires and what he doesn't expect. But it requires paying attention. You ever been told that as a child? I'm talking to you, pay attention. Certainly I can remember being told that. You know, you're sitting there, especially in school in the springtime, you're looking out the window and seeing the birds sing and the grass is green and the baseball diamond's dry, ready for a ball game. Somebody up front is talking away, and pay attention out there, I'm talking to you. Well, that's what God is saying to this world. My word is out there. You can read it. You can understand it. You can have a better life if you'll just observe some of it. It's out there. It requires paying attention. Verse 6 of Proverbs 8. Listen. It says, listen. I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Listen. But even though God has seen to it that wisdom is available and accessible in the world, it does not follow that most will be listening. Listening is a choice. Wisdom is an available blessing that must be consciously taken advantage of. The only way to take advantage of it is to pay attention to it. And likewise, by not ignoring, devaluing, rejecting, or refusing to listen. The word is there. Man is a moral creature, made in God's image, capable of choosing what to pay attention to and what to believe. Wisdom says you have to listen to what I say. Ignoring and tuning wisdom out is a choice, one that too many people are making today. When you look out into the world, it appears that more and more people really are ignoring the truth, ignoring a way of life which will bring joy and peace. Instead, we are taught through media, through all the different programs, and through the games that are on these children's, and it goes, not just children, it goes into young people up into the 30s. They play these violent games, these video games. What are they learning? They're learning violence. They're learning hatred. And they're being desensitized to humanity. Yet the wisdom is out there if they'll just listen. Proverbs 8, verse 7 says, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Here we see a vital key. We see that the very first thing wisdom says, the first teaching out of her mouth, and the most fundamental thing she reveals, is that wickedness must be rejected and resisted. And yet many areas of this country is so steeped in wickedness that if you're on the street after dark, you're in trouble. Some of the areas are so bad, you're in trouble in the daytime, if you're not from that area, or if you don't have street smarts. Why? Because wickedness abounds. Wickedness abounds. Wickedness on our part, and the part of those who want a happy life, must be rejected, must be resisted. The most basic element of wisdom is something that must be accepted by our students. It must not just be accessed, but accessed and embraced. Taken in and used. Read the word and understand it, we're told. Anyone who wants the blessings of wisdom must choose to reject and resist wickedness. Wickedness is in thinking, wickedness in speaking and acting and believing. Wickedness and rebellion against God are all violations of God and His holy, righteous laws. And the laws are written out in plain English. Yes, they're 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. Wisdom and wickedness do not mix. They don't go together. Wisdom doesn't like wickedness. They're not compatible. It's an abomination to wisdom. Wisdom doesn't treat wickedness lightly or take it in with understanding or any semblance of acceptance or indifference. When we see a sin, it should be abhorred by us if we have godly wisdom. And we heard that yesterday from Mr. Zach Smith. We can't leave spiritual leaven on the shelf. We have to reject it and get it out of our lives and out of our homes and off those spiritual shelves. We've just come through the 7 days of unleavened bread where we've been told, search our hearts and minds, get the wickedness out. Abhor it as God abhors wickedness. We can't take it lightly. When we see it, we should abhor it and reject it. Wisdom, that is the wisdom from God, along with its blessings, our benefits. And wisdom draws a line in the sand. I'm on this side of the line. Line is drawn. Wisdom says, I'm on this side of the line. Anyone who wants me and the blessings that go along with it must also be on this side of the line with me. Can't be on that side. Wickedness is on that side. They don't mix. They can't mix. And any who wish to be over here with me must choose as a way of life not to be over there with wickedness, with rejecting and hating of God. You know, we haven't heard it in recent years, but we used to hear about you can't stand with a foot on both sides of the fence. You can't have one foot over here in wickedness and one foot over here in righteousness. It doesn't mix. It doesn't mix at all. We have to reject it and push wickedness to the other side of the line away from us and keep it there. Through those 7 days, we were searching our hearts and minds, trying to keep wickedness out and see it and make sure it is out. And for the rest of this year, up to the next year again, day by day, that's a job that we have to do, keeping wickedness out. So at the outset of listening to what wisdom has to say, we can learn an important fundamental lesson. We learn that wisdom has a lot to do with morality and ethics. This is something that is not being taught in many areas of this country. It is not merely a matter of intelligence or cleverness. Wisdom has a moral component. It's not morally neutral. We learn that wisdom has everything to do with rejecting wickedness and purposely rejecting it, putting it out. Wisdom is not to be confused or equated with merely being smart. Those with a high IQ, excelling in academic pursuits, or being knowledgeable and clever, all of these are morally neutral. Think about it. Some of the most diabolical crooks or killers in history have been very, very intelligent, to the point of being diabolical, very intelligent. And yet, they weren't wise. They didn't have wisdom, and they certainly didn't have any of God's way of thinking within their lives. Yet they were very smart, high IQs. But that is morally neutral. All of these things can be present in the life of someone who embraces wickedness, but that person does not possess wisdom. Is not wise. That person is not wise with the wisdom of Proverbs 8. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, it's made clear that there is a counterfeit wisdom, wisdom of this world. But it's not the same as the wisdom described in chapter 8 of Proverbs. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Keep your marker in Proverbs 8, because we'll be back there. In verse 20, 1 Corinthians 1, hope I didn't mess you up, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Just a few pages farther back in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. This might be a memory verse for some. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now the word lawlessness here is translated from the Greek word anomia, A-N-O-M-I-A. A-N-O-M-I-A. And that's Strong's Concordance number 458. Can also be translated wickedness. So that very easily could read in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with wickedness? And what communion has light with darkness? Let's go back to Proverbs 8 and verse 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 8. Once again, wisdom speaking. It says, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. Godly wisdom is pure. It's distilled. It's unalloyed. For those of you who do not understand what unalloyed means, it means there's nothing blended in with it. It is pure. Pure gold or pure silver. It's not stainless steel where steel and nickel are blended together. It's pure. It's pure. It's unalloyed. It's not polluted or corrupted by crookedness or perversity in its relationship with righteous standards of God. This kind of wisdom is all in with God's standards. Godly wisdom is not of two minds. And we're told in other places in the Bible, don't be a double-minded man. It's not of two minds, but instead it's associated with complete agreement with God, his character, his sovereignty, and his commandments. There is a consistency in this type of wisdom. It is one thing, it is all one thing, and nothing of anything else. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. Godly wisdom is pure. It's distilled. It's unalloyed. It's not polluted or corrupted. You know, as I read this, I was reminded of a story of Mr. Dale Schurter told at a feast many years ago. I don't know if any of you might have been there. I see one head nodding. I believe that was in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken, or over in that direction anyhow, at one of the feast sites. And he told a story about how his children came to him and said, Dad, we want to go to a show. Well, he said, what kind of show is it? Well, they said, it's a really good show, Dad. It only has one bad scene in it. And there's only two places that had bad words. What do you think? Can we go to that show, Dad? He said, let me tell you. He said, I'm going to make you your favorite dish of brownies. I'm going to use the best flour I can get, the purest farm eggs, the purest sugar, and Ghirardelli's chocolate and Ghirardelli chocolate chips. I'm going to really make this a scrumptious set of brownies. And for the final ingredient, we're just going to put a little bit of dog doo-doo in it. I mean, it's pure otherwise than that. He said, you know, the kids got the message. They got the message. They decided they wouldn't go see that show because it wasn't pure. It wasn't straight across what it was, should be to be enjoyed. Those brownies are like wisdom of this world. It's not pure like godly wisdom. It's alloyed with good and evil. Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Good and evil. Society is steeped in it. We know a lot of people we consider as good folks. They try their best. But they don't have godly wisdom deeply implanted to the point where God's Holy Spirit is within them. Evil must be rejected by godly wisdom. A good understanding of life is brought to us through wisdom. Proverbs verse 9 is a takeoff from Proverbs 8, or a follow-up. Proverbs 8 said, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness, nothing crooked or perverse in them. And verse 9 says, they are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Brethren, a person whose mind is yielded to godly wisdom, whose thinking is a product of godly wisdom, understands the way of the world and what goes on in the world. Such a person is able to navigate through life in this world and is surprised and baffled by very little. They understand what's going on. And this is true in part because the wisdom of God makes available, includes understanding of the main forces at work in the world. Those include God's nature and motivation, man's nature and heart, and Satan's nature and goals. Satan is a destroyer. He works very hard to destroy families. And if you look around, he's doing a pretty good job of it. I heard a statistic this morning from Mr. Hemry that this country leads the world in one-parent families. Is that the way it went, Mr.?
Very high.
Yeah, it's very, very high in one-parent families. Why? Because the family has deteriorated to the point where we don't have a father and a mother working together. Some very sad stories out there. Very sad. When a person has a real and clear understanding of those things, not much in the world will surprise them, as I said. They do see why it's the way it is, why people do what they do. People lacking this wisdom are lacking in real understanding of the world. Pretty easily led astray. Led astray by false, incomplete. Their conclusions about the world are the same way, false and incomplete. They don't understand. They're led astray easily. How many different philosophies do we have going on in this country? How many different ideas that are floating around? Even though they may be very smart intellectually, they're easily deceived about God, about other people, and about themselves. They often find themselves surprised and baffled by what goes on. They endorse and support projects, philosophies, political or social ideas that don't work. It's not true to nearly the same degree of those who have wisdom. Not necessarily all of godly's wisdom, but wisdom from the Bible, wisdom from understanding. Wisdom which gives them basic understanding of life as far as how to live a proper life. We heard some of that yesterday too, about these philosophies and these ideas that are off the wall and going in all directions. Wisdom is of great value. It does not shy away from stating it. Proverbs 8, 10 through 11. Proverbs 8, 10 through 11. Verse 10 of Proverbs 8 says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her." The representation of wisdom is clear and adamant that she is valuable. Wisdom is more value than economic wealth, more valuable than what people who do not possess or believe it is. Wisdom is greatly undervalued and underappreciated in the world today. But that's the fault of the world, not of wisdom. That is one reason why she is largely ignored, even though she is very accessible. The claims wisdom makes for herself are largely unbelieved because they're not valued more than economic wealth by most people. In an either-or situation that requires choice between the two, what do you think most people will pick? Wealth. What's the driving force in so many areas of the world today? Wealth. I think God calls it, in many cases, greed. Because it becomes greed. It becomes their God. That's their driving force. Wealth. And here, wisdom unapologetically calls them out on that choice, labeling it a bad one. That wisdom is more valuable than gold. As far as living is concerned, it's much more valuable than gold. Several years ago, and I think I've told the story about having the opportunity to talk to a class that would be graduating in the following year. I had a chance to talk to him, and I said, "You know, you're going to be making your decision on what you do for your life. Life goes by very quickly. What you choose to do for your employment should be something you truly enjoy. Because if you enjoy what you're doing, the day is going to go by easily. But if you're working a job because, you know, full idea is I'm going to make a lot of money at this job and I just absolutely hate it, it's going to be the worst job you ever had in your life. Money is not everything. You can get along fine without being in the top 30 or 40 or even 50% of wealth in the nation you live in. I don't know how many of them listened to it. I hope they did. But I thought it was a bit of wisdom that really could help them in their life. Verse 12, Proverbs 8. Verse 12 and 13 of Proverbs 8 says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Wisdom repeats for emphasis that she blesses those who choose her, those who possess her, including her moral foundation, with prudence and discretion. That is, having the wherewithal to avoid being deceived or believing lies or being seduced by false arguments. Wisdom also makes another claim. Verse 14. Wisdom says, counsel is mine. And sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Anyone who will listen, wisdom makes further claims. She claims to have strength. Those who possess strength, the sort of strength necessary to live successfully, it's the strength of character. It's the strength of a type that is fully manifested over the long run, whereas the world praises instant gratification. A quick payoff. The Bible talks elsewhere about strength from wisdom. Keeping your place here, turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19 says, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of a city. Just a few pages farther in on Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14 and 16. Ecclesiastes 9, 14 and 16. So there was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in that a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The real strength to save the city came from the ignored, undervalued, wise little man. When the crisis passed, he and his wisdom were largely forgotten, and again undervalued. Such is often the way in this world today. But there is a long-term future and profile of wisdom. Proverbs, verse 15, Proverbs 8, verse 15, says, by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, wisdom, kings reign and rulers decree justice. This is a statement that would certainly seem to have its fullest fulfillment in the future, when the resurrected saints of God, the first fruits, will be assisting Christ in ruling the world with full measure of godly wisdom. Other scriptures elaborate on this truth. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Paul elaborated on it here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. That speaks about what's in the future for this world we're in. It's coming to nothing. We're talking earlier for services. Someone recently reminded me that Jacob's trouble means a real problem for Ephraim and Manasseh. I hadn't looked at it quite that way. But this world is coming to an end. How soon? In my lifetime? Maybe not. But it's promised. It's coming to an end. And all the foolish things that are going on in the world will be stopped. God's wisdom will be taught. And the right way of life will be taught in the millennium leading into the kingdom of God. What an awesome promise. What an awesome opportunity. For reference, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, 1 Corinthians 6:2 and Daniel 2:44. Daniel 2:44. With that, I'll go to Proverbs 8 again. Proverbs 8, verse 17 through 21. Proverbs 8, 17 through 21. Wisdom says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Earlier, wisdom explained that she was worth more than physical wealth. It came to making a choice between the two. She was to be chosen over the other. Now, looking at the long run, she promises to add other things to those who choose her. Such a deal. Does this remind you of someone in prominence in the Bible? Isn't this what Solomon did? He asked God for wisdom so he could rule his nation Israel. And God made him the wealthiest person probably who ever lived. His wealth was sought and looked to from all over the world. And God also gave him peace during his lifetime. Unfortunately, he turned from godly wisdom in the end of his life. We don't know what the outcome of that will be. But his foolishness with the brides and the concubines led him astray. So he departed from godly wisdom after he had everything. Wisdom said, I will bring to you wealth also. And you know, God has opened our minds to godly wisdom to the point where we understand his plan for salvation. And doesn't that really make us some of the wealthiest people in the world? I think it does. I think it does. Proverbs 8:22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, and before there was ever earth. When there was no depth, I, wisdom, was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the seas its limits so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men. Wisdom is eternal and unchanging because it is eternal in the mind and character of the eternal and changing Creator God. By contrast, in modern times, we have the expression of conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom. It's a majority view of contemporary thought. It can also be described as ideas so accepted that they are unquestioned, or generally accepted theories or beliefs. Fundamental flaw of this type of wisdom is that it changes. It changes. It's a moving target. That which was previously believed is no longer accepted. Ways of thinking come and go out of fashion, but not so with wisdom described in Proverbs 8. The wisdom of Proverbs 8 is like Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He's a loving Father. He wants for us to be with Him in His kingdom. Wisdom has some closing words for us in Proverbs 8:32 through 36. Verse 32 says, "Now therefore listen to me, my children, and be blessed, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. For blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Eternal. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." Again, wisdom makes claims about herself that promise good things to those who pay attention, that pay attention to her and who bring their moral lives into harmony with her demands. In conclusion, let's turn to James 1:5. James 1:5. I'm sure it's a memory verse for most of us. James 1:5. But I'll read it to make sure I read it right, and I'll probably still stumble. James 1:5. "For if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." I might add, to those who ask, to those who seek, to those who pay attention. God will give that wisdom to them. Maybe not necessarily His Holy Spirit this time, but at least the wisdom to have a good life. I'll read to you Proverbs 24:14 in the New Living Testament. Proverbs 24:14 in the New Living Testament says, "In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short." Although often underappreciated and undervalued, godly wisdom is available to all who choose it. Rejecting this wisdom has caused much of the trouble in this present world. By choosing it, it helps one to respect, to love, and to revere God, to revere His ways, His moral principles, and His will. May God help you and me to listen to true wisdom our entire life, to seek and to ask for it, to be strengthened by it, and serve the true God with true wisdom. Have a great Sabbath.